Bro, what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
This is Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast where we talk about the ding-a-ling buttholes. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by Jason Razorbabes Frizzbabe.
Hey, how you doing this week?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Mr. Frizzbabe?
I'm doing okay. I'm still conflicted about things and stuff, but I'm all right.
What are you conflicted about? A conflict of interest is what you have. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess. That's one way of saying it. The past couple weeks, first I went on a rant about pansexuality.
I remember, I was so proud of you that week. You were so angry, and I loved it.
And then I listened to myself when I had sobered up a bit, and was like, well, I really don't know that much about pansexuals, so I'm going to check it out. And I read the first part of a Wikipedia article, which describes pansexuality as, not limited or inhibited in sexual choice with regards to gender activity. It's like, well, that's not so bad. I think I gave him some grief. Well, now I read the rest of the Wikipedia article after you pointed it out to me, and media representations, at least, of pansexuals are extremely unflattering and hilarious. So I think it's kind of a joke again. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
I agree wholeheartedly. Do you have that up? Can you read some of these people?
Yes.
Who are, and these are the most famous representations of pansexuality that there are out there.
And I'd like to point out that almost all of them, with exception of maybe two that are listed, are things that I should already have known about that were mentioned. Captain Jack Harkness from the Doctor Who series and Torchwood, played by an actor named John Barrowman, that character, well, you wouldn't assume it from his first appearance in Doctor Who in season one, just saying, is described as an omnisexual, which I guess they're kind of taking ownership of to say that's kind of a pansexual thing, because he doesn't discriminate between humans and aliens when he's horny. So,
Which, of course, so when the people on the Tumblr say that they're pansexual, that means, of course, that they have sex with aliens from time to time, which is a totally real thing that happens.
Absolutely true. Yeah, this is, it doesn't really take stock with it being realistic or wanting to be taken seriously to begin with. So there's one of them. And then staying with the alien territory.
Wait, does he have sex with those farting aliens from Doctor Who?
Only if they take human form. That's a caveat that they make in this.
Well, then that's not pansexuality or omnisexuality at all. That's like saying, like, oh, man, I had sex with, like, a blow-up doll, so I'm, like, you know, an omnisexual. Nah, you're just normal. You just got some normal shit going on, but, you know, you'll take any port in a storm. That's what
exactly.
That is.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way of thinking of it, taking any port in the storm, when your storm is a raging boner. But sticking with the alien motif, an American dad, a non-human character, an alien called Roger on the show, who's hilarious, and he talks in a...
Sounds like Paul Lynde.
Paul Lynde, it was the one I was thinking of, but they also compare it to Andy Dick.
Oh, yeah. Well, who is the nowadays Paul Lynde?
Yeah, I guess you could say. The Roger character, who's very funny, described himself as a fey pansexual alcoholic non-human. And how many of that can, like, you run together and take this character seriously? When you watch a show, you can't even take him seriously. Like, he's always scheming and working people over. Every line he says is very punchy and great. And yeah, he does try to have sex with anything. So this is kind of giving the entire thing a loss of credence.
Yeah, I mean, he tries to have sex with everything, not so much because of his orientation, but because he's like a mentally deranged alien.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there are times when he will commit murder, blow stuff up. He tried to kill the entire Smith family. And that one was only because they roasted him, like, in a Friar's Roast style, and he got so offended by it that he decided to take vengeance on them. And going along with the ridiculousness, Dean Pelton from the Community series, one of the most bizarre and ostracized characters on the show, but holding a great deal of power, and just absolutely ridiculous. Like, he comes in dressed as something completely different at the beginning of each episode to just do a one-off pun for the group. This guy is bizarre, and he's a pansexual.
And he's a joke. All these characters are joke characters.
The only one that I would take as not a joke character is a Sight Lisbeth Salander, the heroine from the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo trilogy. But she never identifies herself as pansexual. She's described as simply enjoying sex and not minding much with whom she is enjoying it. I mean, it could be bisexual. That's a thing. That exists, you know? Because she's not having sex with fucking aliens. Nor is she, you know, if you want to argue for the sake of the series, she's not dressing as goofy as Dean Pelton.
Yeah, saying that you enjoy sex with whoever you're having sex with, I mean, that could, you could just be having sex with other members of the opposite sex and just enjoying it. That doesn't mean anything. That's not lending yourself to pansexuality by any means.
Yeah, I mean, it's, and if that's not just the most human reaction to any, to the most base experience that we have. Like, to enjoy who you're having sex with and not minding much with whom she's enjoying it, the character herself, there's debates about whether she's kind of...
an insane murderer? She's an insane
murderer.
Well,
that's one way of going about it. But she has, like, this autistic sort of savantness towards technology, computers, and being able to use people, take people at their face value, and use them for the ends that she needs. It's only when she meets up with this main character that they share like a particular bond, or rather the reporter shares a bond with her, but she's still focused on her own thing. Like, when she wants to have sex, she'll have it. But it's not like she's having sex with aliens. So I think it kind of ruins like the entire theme that's being presented here of like, well, in Doctor Who, there's the character that would have sex with a Dalek or a Cyberman if given the chance. It's like, that's not even, that's, this is hardly Stonewall, is my point. Like, gays in the 70s, I'm sure were more interested in having a life where they weren't threatened on the street for their orientation, for holding hands with another man, and not so much for one day I hope that people get to have sex with aliens and not feel ostracized or marginalized by some kid on a podcast, because that's how I feel right now. Like, I feel like this is a very, very, very marginalized group that will continue to do slash fiction.
Yeah.
Much to my dismay.
Yeah. So we can agree here that until sexy aliens land on Earth and until we invent sex bots and until one of these other people on this list is like from like that witchcraft show with Rose McGowan, and they like to have sex with fairies. And until these things exist and we can have sex with them, all these weird creatures, then you're not pansexual. You're just 15 and want internet attention. So shut up.
And don't get me wrong. Sex with a fairy might be the most incredible thing on Earth. And then you'd want to go have sex with a human just to compare it. Yeah, that would be pansexuality, I would assume.
Still, it's not even pansexuality, because fucking all these aliens and these sex bots and these fairies, they all just look like humans anyway. They're all it's just a human with wings. I mean, it's no different. I mean, it's
just different. The wing part, that's it. Yeah, it's bizarre to me.
It's silly. It's these kids today. It's like you know, these kids are basically just what's happening in porn as a whole, where, like, everything has to get crazier because people get desensitized to things. So now the people are like, you know, like your average Joe on the streets, like, gay people, eh? Yeah, that's fine with me. Now all these kids growing up, they're like, oh, well, people are okay with gay people. I gotta come up with something new. I gotta have sex with a robot. I gotta have Dalek sex and freak out the squares.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at, is that it's the new barrier that they're creating that needs to be broken down. When there are actual barriers that still need to be broken down by people who are more into it. Like, I've known people who are struggling with gender identity and identify themselves as a completely different gender, or sometimes go back and forth. I think it's a very legitimate thing to be experiencing, like, these days, probably forever, ever since people have had to identify themselves with male or female gender.
You're talking about your friend Mystique from the X-Men.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. They even reference Skins on here. It's a British show that was co-opted by America, because that's all they know how to do with TV these days, is co-opt British TV shows.
Yeah, like that time that they copied Breaking Bad and The Wire and Homeland and Dexter, all the best shows on TV.
Exactly.
You traitorous.
Yeah, you follow me on this. You,
you treasonous son of a bitch.
Breaking Bad is Doctor Who, basically.
Well, yeah.
Because Walter White is the Doctor who takes on these different forms, like he regenerates.
Skyler's voice does sound like a Dalek these days. Blah, stop selling meth. Blah.
Blah. Yeah, yeah. And,
exterminate
and Jesse,
the
Jesse's just a companion. The RV was the TARDIS. Basically, you could argue that the tent they're in now is a TARDIS. The outside is presumed to be something chameleonized. So when they go inside, it's much larger as they're creating meth. Yeah, yeah, there's a lot of great American TV shows. But The Office, Skins, Inbetweeners.
All the worst American TV shows were based on British TV shows, is what you're saying.
Thank you. And we can also look forward to the Sherlock edition of the U.S. side's version of Sherlock coming this fall.
Where Watson is a girl for absolutely no fucking reason.
Yeah, the ultimate slash fiction.
Yeah.
It's, I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
Yeah. But yeah, the point of this pansexuality thing that is, you know, if you're identifying with some sort of group, and the main leaders of this group are fucking people who don't exist in real life and who don't do things that exist in real life, then maybe your movement doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We had the same thing back when I was a young man, when all my friends in 1995 bought big boots and trench coats, and we all thought that we had died and we were being brought back by a mysterious crow to avenge our dead girlfriends. Turns out it wasn't real. Turns out we hit the age of 18 and we realized that we were dummies, just like all these kids will do.
Yeah, yeah. When I was in high school, I wore big green military pants and Doc Martens and suspenders with a checkered shirt, and I thought ska was in. Turns out I was wrong. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so, we all go through this.
Pansexuality is no different from ska. And the crow.
And Wicca.
And
let's not forget Wicca.
Especially Wicca.
I was watching this documentary where it was people in Massachusetts, Salem, like near Salem, who were celebrating like the original All Hallows Eve sort of thing. And the interviewer was like, so is you consider yourself Wicca then? Are you a Wicca? It was Stephen Fry, actually, who was doing this. And the person he's interviewing, she goes, no, I practice witchcraft. So even, like, fucking people who identify themselves as witches are trying to distance themselves from the Wicca stigma. They're like, no, I do more than buy patchouli. I actually do these other things.
Yeah. All that being Wiccan meant when we were youngsters was that you were a chubby girl and you hated your stepdad. That's all it was. And that you really, really liked Tori Amos.
Yeah. Specifically like Cornflake Girl.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of these hypocrisies, and whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, we've got a new installment here of Judge Frisbee's Hypocrisy Court. This is a thing we've done to no success, as Frisbee throws at every case that comes across his desk. But we've done it a couple of times. And you know, I present a case to Mr. Frisbee. He decides if this person is being a hypocrite, and he decides to either, you know, if they're being a hypocrite, he then sentences them to years in hypocrite jail. I plead my case to you, Honorable Frisbee. We have...
The court recognizes Parker Bowman.
I object.
Alright. This case has been dismissed.
I object, Your Honor.
That's the end of the courtroom. No, go ahead.
We have... I was listening the other day to the Spotify's, which I fucking love. I hated for a long time because I'm an old man, and I don't like these new technologies, but I love it now. And I decided that I would listen to the new Rancid. Not so much new, I think it came out a couple years ago, but it's the newest one, and I haven't heard it. And the second song came on. It's a song called This Place. And some of the lyrics are as follows. The workers misled by corporations that know no boundaries, ... The land of liberty has been betrayed by the monster corporations, and they won't stop until they lay waste to everything. This is sung by Tim Armstrong. Tim Armstrong, who was in another band called The Transplants. And The Transplants' music was featured in commercials for Neutrogena, Garnier Fructis shampoo. I'm sure I said that wrong.
Fructis. I remember that.
Fructis. And their music was on the soundtrack for a big Hollywood movie called Bulletproof Monk, starring Stifler. So, is Tim Armstrong of Rancid and the Transplants a hypocrite for writing this song, yet being so fully enveloped in the commercial world?
Yeah, I would actually agree with this one. He is being hypocritical, because I genuinely remember that that Garnier Fructis commercial and hearing that Transplant song in the background, thinking how weird it was that this guy had so oddly turned around. Like, I mean, he wasn't making any bones about attaching his name to it. There are times in music industry where a group of people or one person or whatever will take on an alias or a pseudonym, or maybe it's an artist who's just too good for this world, like Prince, and he'll just give his songs away. People who think that, like, this will catapult your success. I have to go back to the heaven now.
Yeah, he just touches people on their chest and they become stars.
Exactly. Kind of like Loki, except opposite of Loki from Avengers. He does good. He makes them less weird rather than giving them veins and blue eyes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Tim Armstrong came with the product endorsements you just mentioned. He was on the Stifler Bulletproof Monk movie. And I'm sure there's probably more in the works, if not more that we haven't mentioned. So yeah, I would totally agree with this one. I know in the past, you say I throw it out every case. I haven't sentenced anyone yet, I think. Maybe one person. The last one I did throw out, though. I thought it was silly. But this one I don't think is very silly. I think it's very true.
How many years? How long is this guy going away?
I would say till the next Rancid album release. So another 5 years.
The jury loves it.
He's a ripe old 50, still living punk. Squatter's rights, right? Squatter's rights.
Mm-hmm. When you're squatting in your mansion paid for by the Johnson & Johnson Company.
Choking victim, he ain't.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever they are now. What are they? Leftover crack, he ain't. Yeah, use the second one.
Well, court is adjourned, I suppose.
Yep, I have to say that. Court is adjourned.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot that the lawyers don't say that court is adjourned.
Bailiff Jesse P.S. is not present. He's doing his own show today.
That's true.
But he would say something very Bull-esque in his line delivery.
And then he would play that cool Alfred Hitchcock music.
God, what a great character.
Jesse or Alfred Hitchcock?
I was going to say I was going to say Bull from that court. I was actually thinking of him. I was actually wondering if he might be a pansexual. That'd probably make no sense, though. I think he was non-sexual.
Well, didn't he, like, get visited by, like, the ghost of the previous bailiff sometimes? Like, that old lady, didn't her ghost visit him?
Oh, well, if he had sex with that ghost, I guess we know the answer to that question.
Yep. Ah, what a way to trivialize all the other sexualities in the world. Is by saying that you're a certain type of sexuality because in theory you would have sex with an alien, you fucking goofballs.
That's, okay, yeah, that's exactly the perfect phrasing for how distraught I am about this.
This is why homosexuals can't get married, because of you goofballs ruining it for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I usually don't encourage people to pick a side. Like, if you're still figuring it out, figure it out. It's fine. Take as much time as you need. You're better off. It's just, this is the worst cop-out ever to me. This week's email comes from Blake Sell. It's titled, I'll See You in the Dark Side of the World. He brings up an interesting point from another podcast that we enjoy here on Pool Party. The podcast is Kissing Contest. We had a host from Kissing Contest, Mike Dick, on a couple of episodes ago. Be sure to go back and check that out, and also check out Kissing Contest. Blake says, I don't have a topic to make Frizzbabe angry, but I do have a request. Kissing Contest had a dream team lineup for a sitcom, and what would make that sitcom great? I really enjoyed the idea of a dream team making up a sitcom. I think they limited themselves to the 80s and 90s characters, but I think you guys should do the same. I'll give you mine just for grins and to take up precious minutes in your cast. So for his dad, he selects Homer Simpson, the ultimate dad, something we can only strive to be, lazy at work, alcoholic, and couch potato. For his mom, he says, I'm not good with coming up with mother figures for a show, but I'll go for Rose McGowan and Planet Terror. That machine gun leg has to come up with some wacky sitcom circumstances, which is hilarious. I think that'd be pretty true, don't you think?
Yeah, it would certainly come into play on one of those like very special episodes where you learn that guns are bad.
Yeah, like she can't find her gun, then the baby has it or something. Mm-hmm. And everybody learns a lesson.
And then then Brian Austin Green's best friend dies.
The eldest kid, Red Brown as Captain America. It's fun to have Captain America in the family.
He's Joe Parker would agree. He's a full-grown adult. This list doesn't make any sense.
Hold on, there's more.
He was never in a sitcom.
The middle kid on the show would be Fox Mulder from The X-Files.
Who is older than Red Brown, probably.
Well, you know, I mean, Captain America's been frozen for like 50 years. With the kooky family and Captain America as his older brother, he can unearth all manner of conspiracy theories about why he's around and why mom has a gun for a leg.
That would work, I guess.
For the youngest kid, I wanted a female in the cast outside of mom in there somewhere, but I thought about it for a good few minutes and came up dry. So the youngest brother is Patrick Bateman from American Psycho, keeping things all American in the family. Mulder can try to solve the crimes committed by Patrick, and the captain can...
This is the worst family ever.
And the captain can try to thwart them. Mom and dad are there for comic relief. How excellent could the storyline go from there? Well, he adds a pet. I have to take a page from the other podcast. I like Alf, and I like Alf too, but Alf would eat cats, and I like kitties even if they can't spell. So my alien pet friend would be E.T. He's a pet plant, but that's okay. Just keep some Reese's Pieces around, and I'll be good, and it'll be good times had by all.
None of these people are from sitcoms.
I love this. I would probably watch this sitcom all the time. It's just Homer Simpson. You're right. It's only Homer Simpson from any sort of like TV show. Although like Simpsons would hardly be considered a sitcom at this point. It's achieved meta status where it even makes fun of itself and how bad it is sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the rest of these obviously are not. Some are from literature. Mostly from movies. And yeah,
bad family. All right, let's see.
The children arrangement isn't all children.
No children whatsoever. All right, if I was in this family, off the top of my head here, though, I've had no planning of this. And All right, let's see. Who would you go for? You got anybody in mind?
For a dad?
Yeah, who would be your dream sitcom dad?
I'd actually go for Walter White.
Also not from a sitcom.
Yeah. Well, hear me out.
You guys don't understand the rules of this game.
Because Walter White is always looking out for his family. That's the bottom line. I think that's great.
I just want to provide for my family.
We have to cook, Jesse. we need more time. Or whatever it said. For the mom, I would probably pick Denise Richards from Starship Troopers.
All right, here's my list that is actually sitcom people.
Because she needed more screen time.
What are you doing here?
She really didn't get used in that film, and I think she'd be a good mother to these fictional children.
If you're going to pick any Denise Richards, you should pick Denise Richards from Wild Things as your, like, adopted sister that you can have sex with. Not bug-fighting Denise Richards. What are you doing?
Well, I mean, she's in this very special episode when the house gets attacked by some sort of guerrilla faction.
No guerrilla factions. Okay, what kind of sicko? All right, my dad is Al Bundy because he seemed like a pretty solid dude. And also, he does not love his family. So that would be, I would be very familiar living in that sort of lifestyle. Also, he had like a really sweet, huge house, which I liked a lot. My sitcom mom would be, it was Lisa Ann Walter. Was she in that Happily Ever After show, which was basically just Married with Children?
Oh, I don't remember. I forget what actress she is.
I think she was the mom on that show. Maybe not. I don't know. Either way, I'm going with the mom from that show. Especially if it was Lisa. Either way, Lisa Ann Walter. Even if she wasn't in that show, I'm going with her. Because I like her radio show. And I like her. What kids would you go with, Mr. Frisbee? What brothers and sisters would you have?
I don't know if you want to hear them. Yeah, they're much better than mother and father.
Who is it? Is it like Lance Armstrong and other people who've never been in a sitcom?
Now, let's see if I can do this somewhat correctly.
You got to play by the rules. You got to play to win, Mr. Frisbee.
Well, I'm already way behind. So let's see here. I have the oldest daughter from Grounded for Life because I actually thought she was really attractive.
Mm-hmm. I hear that.
Let's see.
It should be noted that you're probably adopted into this family. That way it's okay for you to think she's attractive.
Well, I'm not part of this family. No, this watching it from...
No, this is your family that you live in, I think.
Oh, this is my family?
Yeah, you would be living in the family, I think, if I remember the rules of this kissing contest game correctly.
Oh, okay.
You'd be part of the family.
Okay, so I'm just not one of the parents. I'm, like, presumably one of the kids.
Yeah, you're like a kid or something.
Okay.
I think. Okay. Or maybe you're watching it. I don't know. I was playing Fallout while listening to that kissing contest episode. I maybe don't remember the rules properly. Let's say you're watching it.
One of the rules is they have to kill mutants. Yeah. The family has to, like, raid a water chip factory or something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Okay, so there's her. Then I would probably have the oldest brother from Malcolm in the Middle. Because he was always kind of cool, popping in and out.
And he already knows Mr. White, so that works.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Mr. White was on that show.
That's okay. Got it. I showed up late to that joke. You were absolutely right. Yeah, he worked with Bryan Cranston there. And he's mostly out of the house. And he's in pretty cool remote areas, just like dinking around outside of the family. So that would be cool. And the youngest member and kind of the weirdo pet of the family would be the baby from Dinosaurs, because that thing is, you think it's not going to be funny anymore, and then it gets hilarious again.
Also, it's scary as hell. My little brother had a toy, one of those things that talked, and it was just a frightening mess of circuits. I mean, I hated it.
I'm sure it was. Yeah, not the mama is one of those rules of 25 things where It's funny like two times. It's unfunny about 22 more times. And it's funny again.
That's
I
true.
I can't believe they keep saying this. So what about you? Who are the kids and siblings in your family?
All right, well, my older brother is going to be the greatest older brother that you could ever have in the history of the world, and that's A.C. Slater. He's good at everything. He's a solid dude. He would protect you from the bigger nerds. So he'd be my big brother. I'd also probably have Parker Lewis. AC. Parker Lewis would also be my brother. I'd like to party with that guy.
So you'd be the... Would you still be the name Parker?
Yeah.
Would you just name him something else?
No, we'd both be Parker.
You'd be Parker squared.
Yeah, and so then go around. And then also we'd have another brother, one of the Peets, because he could relate to the fact that both of us brothers are named Parker.
Oh, okay. Yeah, young Pete. That'd be awesome.
Because
then by fact of him, you get all those great friends like Artie and Mr. Swirlier.
Yeah, but not Big Pete. He doesn't exist in this world for some reason.
Right.
Only weird memories of him that happen in Little Pete's dreams. Only they exist.
Yeah. His waking life is with your family. His dream life is the sitcom Pete and Pete.
Yeah. No,
that's what you explained to him.
Yeah, it gets like really, really meta and weird. Like the way that it happens. And I guess my pet would be Annie's boobs from Community, because I always wanted a pet monkey. And Annie's boobs is a good name for a pet monkey.
It is pretty great. Doesn't he just run around the vents in that show?
Yeah, but that's fine. He steals spoons and stuff. That's all you could ever want.
Yeah. As long as he's not tearing off your face. That's all we can ever ask for with monkeys.
That's true. He was a tiny monkey. If he tried to rip off your face, it would be cute.
Well, I think it's obvious who won this round, and I'm sorry for your lots. I came out pretty far ahead in the end there, I think.
I think you're right. But, hey, what are you going to do? Anyway, so thanks, Blake Cell, for sending us emails. Other people who aren't Blake Cell are also allowed to email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com, as I feel that soon we might have to change the name of this segment from sticking your fingers in the air so Frisbee can see where you're at to, like, the Blake Cell corner or something.
Yeah, or Blake's correspondence.
Yeah, or some sort of wacky pun on Blake's name that we'll have to figure out later. Blake Mail Cell? All right, I got nothing. But speaking of podcasts, next we're going to do another installment of something we did last week that I think was a huge success, and it's where I dish out juicy tidbits of gossip about other podcasts, you know, like a real TMZ sort of a Perez Hilton kind of a thing, you know?
Can I be that coordinator from TMZ? I'll just, while you're doing this, I'll slouch over some sort of countertop that's like chest high, and I'll have a cup with a straw in it. And then I'll start off with this. All right, what do you got for me?
Yeah, you can do that. And then every once in a while, if we have a piece of gossip that's like too juicy, after I've described it, you can go, nah, we're not going to run that. Even though we've already clearly ran it, because we just talked about it. I don't understand how that show works.
Yeah, it's a confusing piece of pop culture.
Yeah. But anyway, so the first thing I've got is real, it's a real kind of a secret thing. You know, you might not hear this otherwise if you didn't listen to Pool Party to get this piece of information, this juicy gossip. But it turns out that Adam Carolla, he's not a fan of parking tickets. I hear this on good authority, a source close to Adam Carolla of the Hit Podcast, the number one podcast in the world, doesn't like parking tickets.
Are you sure we can run this?
Yeah, I know. It's pretty shocking stuff here. The next piece of juicy gossip we have is it concerns the Badland Girls podcast. And it turns out that they recently watched the movie Crank. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about this. I got this from a very, very inside source to the show. But they have recently watched the movie Crank together, starring Jason Statham. It's a very secretive thing. Don't tell anybody. If you listen to this show, you're allowed to know. But don't go telling anybody that you heard it. We gotta play this one secret. This is not something that they want released yet. They don't want anybody talking about this yet. You know, it's kind of a spoiler for their show. They're going to be, you know, revealing this secret about Crank, you know, soon. You know. And so until then, just pretend like you didn't hear it. You see, that's funny, though, Jason, because that episode where they talk about Crank, it's already up at their website, badlandgirls.com.
Yeah, they were very conflicted about it.
Yeah. Well, secret gossip.
And now it's time for the lightning round.
This week, Prince Harry will be flying Apache helicopters to Afghanistan, but less than a week after his arrival there for frontline service as an Apache pilot, the Taliban have threatened to do anything within their powers to kidnap or kill the prince. Abmadar told Britain's Channel 4 News, "This is good news for us, as we are always in search for such precious birds," thereby sealing the fact that this guy has watched and loves Die Hard so much that he's willing to quote Hans Gruber and any other 1980s action movie villains.
Yeah, and Mike Tyson, he's got precious birds as well. He raises them and flies them and races them.
Loves those pigeons.
Yeah, but this is wacky first that, like, terrorist dudes would, like, do interviews, like, with the BBC about who they're going to kill. I think that's a wacky time that we live in.
Yeah, it was this and another. They have a spokesperson, too. A spokesperson called Reuters and was talking to them as well.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, we'll totally kill this guy any way that we can.
Yeah, it's, like, so weird. Like, I don't think that Napoleon would have called Russia ahead of time, like, hey, we're coming for you. Here's our specific plan. Although Napoleon was crazy, so maybe. Hey, is this Russia? This is Napoleon, eh? And here we go. Oi, crikey, this is Napoleon. And we're coming for you right in the middle of winter, because we French are douchebags. We don't understand that we're losers.
That's totally off. And you made Napoleon sound British and Australian again.
Well, I forgot how to do. Wait, hold on. My French impression is this: hey, Russia, hey, we're coming for you. Hey, I'm a French, hey, baguettes, hey. That's my
there
French.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There we
very,
go.
Very, very Bronson-esque.
I got no dice, Stalin.
Yeah, so with terrorist groups, like a self-identified terror group, like they're trying to create terror, this is the most unglamorous way of doing it, but I kind of prefer it. Like in this age where we are just, you know, like a copper wire away from each other or some sort of like internet connection away, this is probably a better way to just infuse terror than, you know, throwing people with bombs strapped to their chest, promising these outlandish religious proclamations to them to get your message out there. Like a phone call away is all it takes. Why not just do that?
Yeah, everybody should just prank call each other, and then they'll be so scared that all the wars will stop.
And I'm waiting for the day when the Taliban just resorts to commenting on internet message board threads, and that's their form of terror. Like, that would be way more lucrative and less bloody.
I think it's awesome that the Taliban wants to kill royal people because royal people are stupid. I think it's ludicrous that we live in a world where there are still kings and queens.
Yeah, ordained by God stuff.
Yeah.
That still exists.
Their bloodline is better than the normal people, so they get to live in a crazy fucking castle of a mansion. And that's silly. I mean, that's probably the worst possible. I mean, even as bad as Monty Python is, like, the fact that they have fucking kings and queens is ridiculous. And especially now, where, like, you know, if this was like 300 years ago, Prince Harry would be like leading the war, you know, he would be like the leader, and now he's just some normal dude. He like gets to fly a helicopter sometimes, like,
which is pretty bad if you've ever seen Airwolf or anything.
Yeah, but if you've ever listened to Earwolf, that's he gets to listen to the Professor Blastoff show while
and Improv for Humans.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, like, how sad is your life to be you know, like a prince? Like, you don't even get to, like, lead people into battle with, like, fucking swords or anything. Like, you're just some dickhead that, you know, you can't even get naked in Las Vegas without people fucking being mad at you.
That's the thing, though. I mean, like, it sounds like he's having pretty good times. Like, I would love to learn how to fly a helicopter and have sexy parties in Las Vegas. Every time I've been to Vegas, never a sexy party. Every time I've been in a helicopter, well, I've never been in a helicopter, so I can't really vouch for that.
Yeah, I've never been in a helicopter, but I've hung on to, like, the bottom part, you know, like the part where it lands. I've hung on to that with my arm once while shooting an Uzi.
That's totally rad.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Were you trying to save the president's daughter?
No, ninjas? I was at the Lilith Fair.
Oh, that makes sense.
I just was so mad.
Yeah, it's a pretty hot festival. Very sweaty.
Oh, man, you know it. I had to get out of there.
I'm on the opposite end of this. I think the Taliban sect is pretty sad in its own right. Because this is their good news. It's good news for them when they're able to search for such precious birds. Not only is that such a weird, creepy thing to say, but that's your good news for the day, that you found, like, a prince that you wanted to kill when really no one cares about that bloodline anymore. Like, I agree, it's a total joke bloodline, but I think most of the world would agree to that, too. Like, outside from people in political power who are like, okay, this is my chance to meet the queen.
Yeah, outside, like, of the people of England.
Exactly, because how many countries defected from, you know, Canada? Like, not only through just being colonies, but territories as well. India was free. Canada is no longer part of it. Australia is no longer part of it. Like, these are their own countries. I mean, we recognize that.
Well, they still care about the queen. They still got the stupid queen on their money in Canada.
Oh, come on. But it's still, like, Scott Thompson did a really hilarious impersonation of the queen.
No Scott Thompson.
Yes, Scott Thompson. He was the queen, and he made love to a beaver. Another pansexual, by the way.
That's true.
The Christmas special, way back when. This is basically a flame war. I'm hoping for the day when it becomes the Taliban. It's just, like, posting internet comments. They're like some sort of internet subgroup that gets together and, you know.
Yeah, and they'll say, we're going to capture this Prince Harry. And then we're gonna skull fuck his corpse, which would of course make them pansexuals then.
Yeah, obviously. Next up on the lightning round, a Canadian group accuses NoFX of calling for white genocide. Canadian immigration group, the Canadian Immigration Report, has criticized NoFX, who are performing as part of the Riot Fest. In 2005, they had a song receive criticism after being played on a Canadian radio station. The song violated a rule that states a radio station cannot air material that, quote, contains gratuitous violence in any form, or otherwise sanction, promote, or glamorize violence. The station was banned from broadcasting the song.
Yeah, first of all, it's shocking that an American band is being played on Canadian airwaves, because that's mostly illegal. But, it's also very funny that NoFX is being controversial in the year 2012, but this song came out like 20 years ago. So good for you, NoFX. All your songs about how much you hate George Bush are not nearly as controversial as a silly satire song you made 20 years ago. 25 years ago, something like that. Good work. You suck, NoFX.
This is very timely, though, isn't it?
Yeah, these guys.
I didn't really notice that this was 20 years ago.
Yeah. It's a 20-year-old song that these guys are mad about. These weird racist Canadians. Which, I guess nobody saw coming. That there were a bunch of weird, racist Canadians that don't want, that are, like, all against immigration and stuff. Very bizarre. Did you know that there were Canadians like that?
No. But this is, I have no idea about any of this. The Canadian Immigration Report doesn't sound like a group, for one. I mean, it sounds like a report.
Well, no, well, I looked them up. They're like a group of dudes who are like real against like Muslims and like people like that getting into their country.
Oh, awesome. Great. So another radical sect. See, yeah. Even Canada, the most neutral, stand-aside country that Americans typically think of, even they have weird radical sects that they're society.
Weird radical sex.
See, I keep trying not to say that.
Yeah.
But I keep feeling like I'm saying that.
Well, they're pansexual weird, there.
Weird radical pansex.
Panda sex.
Panda sexuals.
Yeah, they're mad at the song Kill All the White Men, which is a pretty good song, I suppose. I don't see why.
See, I've never heard this song. I actually can't vouch for it. Oh. I'm not vouching for much tonight. My vouchers are all expired. I can't really speak for the song.
It's just a song. It's like a, it's basically the audio version of like a Howard Zinn book, where it's just like about how white people are like racist and they took over everybody's countries and colonized everybody.
Oh, right on.
Which yeah, you know, they do like to do that. Those previous princes and kings of England we were talking about, they took over most of everything.
Yeah, great nations of Europe.
Those Europeans. They said, oh, here's South America. Let's just have this. Let's have it.
It's ours now.
We can put sugar and coffee here. Let's just take this for ourselves.
Let's bring these people back, too. Oh, this man, isn't he charming? We'll take his wife and use her for sexual purposes, but whatever. It's cool. Say goodbye to your kids. They're being used for target practice.
Those goddamn British.
You're a servant now, sir.
I don't know.
Yeah, this is bizarre. It's, I wouldn't expressly call it Canadian. I think it's about as Canadian as some sort of miniature militant compound out in the middle of nowhere in, you know, rural America. But whatever. If they hold any political sway, that would be surprising.
Well, let's not make assumptions. We'll have to read more about it. Let's not be one of these Bill Nye people on Facebook. Let's read into these guys more and then see what they're about. It could be all the Canadians for all we know.
But still, this is a lightning round that's depicted Canada as being much weirder than we anticipated.
That's true. Well, I knew that they were weird because they're putting fucking gravy on fries. They're savages. They're savage people.
And it's called poutine. Like, what's not to love about this?
It's called doo-doo.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Nah, that's the end of the show. Go to poolpartyradio.com and check out all our episodes. And go to iTunes and leave us reviews and stuff like that, ratings, because it's helpful. Or tell your friends to like us. We would really appreciate that, because the emails that we get at poolpartyradio@gmail.com and the people telling us that they like shared the podcast with their friends and stuff like that, that's the fuel that keeps us going. That's, if you imagine us to be like the Terminator, then however they fueled the Terminator, that's what that stuff is. That's what the emails and the reviews and ratings are. How did they fuel the Terminator?
With love.
That's, yeah. This is how, yeah.
That's the secret.
Yeah, it's
yeah, not. They're an emotional machine, but the secret ingredient is love.
Yeah, so it's not so much in and out, like, a metaphor. That's the same thing. Same basic thing we're asking for.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, find us on iTunes and our website. We're also on Stitcher, which is surprisingly cool. Also, let us know how you felt about those Saved by the Bell episodes that we did a few episodes back, because I think we're going to do another one soon. But if everybody hates it, we're not going to do that. And I think we've also got some other crazy surprises like that. Not so much surprises, because they've been spoiled by another podcast that does podcast gossip. But, well, yeah, we've got some other stuff like that. So let us know how you feel about those Saved by the Bell episodes.
You can follow us on Twitter. There's Pool Party Radio. That's at Pool Party Radio. Follow me at Jason Frisbee. You can follow Parker at Parker Arizona.
That's true. And also go to awfulflix.tk, awful F-L-I-X. That's something that me and Jesse from Pod Awful have been doing. We do audio commentaries for crummy movies. So check that out. And that's the end. So this is Parker for Jason saying, fuck you, Chelios. Yeah, if you want to have sex with a dancing goat, then that's your business. And my business. I want to make that my business. I like dancing goats. I will watch you have sex with a dancing goat.